This is Oklahoma Perspective. Area school districts are back in session now, and Friday, KRMG's morning news program went in-depth with Tulsa Superintendent Deborah Gist, Union Superintendent Kirk Hartzler, and BA Superintendent Janet Dunlop.
I know that you hit as many campuses as you possibly could on Wednesday, the opening day for TPS. How'd it go? What'd you see?
It was amazing. I started at the bus barns first thing in the morning, as you know, because we chatted when I was arriving there. And then we met with our bus drivers, went to our facilities, our warehouse, our mechanics and maintenance. And then we went to our bakery because they were getting the bread ready for the day. And then headed out to the schools and did, I went to 13 schools.
You know that,
and
that
it was wonderful.
You know, I'm a foodie, so we got to start there because when you were there at the bakery, you posted that there are big changes coming to the culinary program in the Tulsa Public Schools. Can you share any of that with us?
There are. So we have a new contract in place, and there will be a lot of changes.
A new vendor, Sodexo,
is that actually right? The same vendor.
Okay. But a new contract.
But we did a new competition, and it's a new contract. And they understand that we have very, very high expectations. And so I think, you know, one of the things I would summarize about it is that the big part of it is student voice. So I have a student cabinet, and my student cabinet last year weighed in on this significantly. These are high school students. And then we also did, the taste tests and focus groups with students and so forth. But what's different this time is that instead of that being an annual kind of a conversation, this is going to be ongoing. Hmm. So student feedback will be a big part.
So what were they asking for? More like fast food, accessible kind of mainstream choices? Or were they asking for, hey, we want more fresh things, more salad bars, more stuff like that?
All of those things. So they want choice. They want better quality. Yeah. And it's also about delivery and presentation. And so in our high schools, for example, there will be more of a almost like a food court kind of a feel. Students want more grab and go choices so that they can. They're busy. And a lot of times they're running off to meet with a teacher or do something. They can't go through a line and sit and eat with a tray. They need to be able to take something, grab a sandwich or a wrap or a burrito or something like that and be off and running. And they do want more fresh options. And they want the kind of fruits and vegetables that they like. And so we're going to keep getting that feedback from them.
Leave it to me to start with the food.
I'm wondering, though.
There's so many serious issues, but let's talk about the food first.
Well, there's a couple of things there. First of all, how much can you take that advice because you still have to make those decisions, and how much does the student weigh? And secondly, I'm a Nathan Hale kid, and I had a message yesterday that for the first time in X number of years, they're going to be able to go off campus for lunch. Is that true?
They are. So Hale is one of the four schools that are part of Tulsa Beyond, which was a project that has been, it's been 2 years in the making. So the past year, each of the four schools who are in Tulsa Beyond, which are Hale, Webster, Tulsa Learning Academy, and McLean, have had a design team made up of students and teachers and parents and community leaders, and they have completely reimagined what school looks like. What we know about school today, our high schools in particular, is that they were really designed by a group of guys that sat in a room more than 100 years ago and imagined this concept of English and math and science and all these things being separate.
We really haven't updated the model in a century.
We have not. Absolutely not. Even though, you know, it really hasn't worked for a long time for huge numbers of students.
Yeah.
And we know that the world has changed. The way we learn has changed. The way we work has changed. And it's changing rapidly even more. And so while it's not a big part of the concept, one of the things that the students really felt strongly about is flexibility. And, you know, we sort of confine kids to school buildings these days. And then the minute they graduate, they have like all the freedom in the world. And when school's out, they have all the freedom in the world. But during the day, we're very, very restrictive of them. And it comes across as a lack of trust. They don't have chances to make mistakes and get better and learn and be responsible. And so part of that is giving them the ability to leave during the day and you know, get something to eat and come back. But it's not going to just be like an automatic free-for-all. There are some steps that the school is putting in place to test it out and have children, you know, earning and keeping that responsibility.
All right, let's drill down on some of the core issues here that we've been talking about now for years. First of all, this is the first start of the school year that I can remember where I don't hear a bunch of superintendents going, hey, we've still got the help wanted sign out here. We have plenty of vacancies. This is a crisis. It doesn't seem to be that way this year.
Well, it is.
It still is.
It absolutely is. You know, I certainly...
How many vacancies do you have right now?
We have primarily vacancies in special education. And right now, we have pulled people from our district office, as has been our practice since I've been superintendent, for any vacancies that we have.
In fact,
I was supposed to teach kindergarten.
Too. Yeah.
Right. Well, I taught a couple of years ago, third grade, and then this year I was going to teach kindergarten at Hoover Elementary, but they found a teacher, which is great. That's okay. What we want.
But it is down. The number of vacancies is down, right? Or not?
You know, we still have statewide, there are 600 teaching vacancies statewide. I think it's like 596 okay. vacancies statewide. But there's still a shortage. And we're also continuing to issue thousands of emergency certifications in the state. So I think it's really, really important for Oklahomans to know that we have a very, very serious teaching shortage in our state. And while we're grateful that we have stopped the pattern of really massive cuts to education. You know, we cut more per pupil to education from 2008 to 2018 than any other state in the country by a very significant margin. And we have not recovered from that. We are not close to the per pupil levels that we were spending per kid in 2008. And everything is more expensive now as well. So it's really, and we have more kids in our state than we had then. And so we really have still a lot of work to do.
You're listening to a special 8 a.m. in-depth hour edition of the KRMG Morning News with Dan Potter. Our in-studio guest is Dr. Deborah Gist, superintendent of the Tulsa Public Schools. You have completed in the Tulsa Public Schools several bond projects. Can you give us an update on those?
Absolutely. We are incredibly grateful to Tulsans for consistently supporting the bonds that come out to them for a vote. And these are so important because they allow us to, first of all, keep our buildings safe and healthy. And so it's everything from every summer we're updating heating and air conditioning, we're updating, you know, windows and that kind of just regular maintenance sort of work, renovations and things like that, updating fixtures and that type of thing. But it also allows us when we do some of our bigger renovations or when we do an expansion on a school, we add the FEMA safe spaces. And so we have those in about half of our schools right now and continuing to grow those all the time.
Those are tornado shelters,
mm-hmm, right,
essentially. We were reading this morning about a school that's in Michigan.
Michigan, $49 million school with specifically designed to cut down on shootings. Mm-hmm. Things like impenetrable plastic stuff in the glass, things like hallways that are curved so no line of sight, some security doors that others don't have.
As you make those renovations in campuses in Tulsa, what kind of consideration is given to the school shootings that we've seen and security?
Well, we have a number of things that we've done to keep our students and staff safe. And one of those is the what we call enhanced secure entrances. And so we are putting those on all of our schools. All of our schools have secure entrances right now, but the old way of doing it was that you would be buzzed into the building and then you were in the building. And now you're buzzed in and you're in the office, but you don't have access to the rest of the building until you're buzzed into the rest of the building.
Until you're further cleared.
Right. But I think more importantly, I mean, what we know from security and law enforcement professionals is that the most important thing we can do to keep kids and staff safe is prevention. And so we have See, Hear, Share, which is our hotline for these kinds of concerns. And what we encourage teachers and students and parents to know is that on a 24/7 basis, they have access to someone they can talk to, and they should call us if they have any concern, if they hear anything that gives them even a little bit of pause or stop to say, that doesn't sound right, that causes me concern, we want them to call us and tell us, and we will look into it. And if we find out it was nothing, then that's the best news possible. And if not, then, and you know, if something is a problem, then they've potentially saved lives.
See, hear, share.
Yes, and
it's
the
phone
number.
Your own version of mm-hmm. if you see something, say something.
Right, exactly.
What's the number?
It's 918-480-SAFE. And I remember it because I think 4-8, so you're going to be doubly safe. So 480-SAFE.
And by the way, that very thing just helped stop possibly a problem in Ooliga, where there was an arrest on
first
Monday.
First day of school.
Yeah, very
yeah.
first day, yeah.
All right, 918-480-SAFE. The Union Public Schools celebrating 100 years as a school district. KRMG Managing Editor Rick Corey met with Union Superintendent Dr. Kirk Hartzler at the exact spot where it all started. That spot is now the Union 6th and 7th grade center near 61st and Mingo.
Most people just don't think of this district having that kind of history. Were you aware of it when you came here?
You know, I wasn't. As a matter of fact, when I arrived here in the mid-80s, 34 years ago, this very site was where I actually coached. I coached football here and I taught at the high school. And seeing the original building and thinking about, wow, it was still relatively small then in 1985, 86. Had no idea of our history and the fact that, you know, in 1919, four farming communities really came together and said, we can create this place called Union. And here we are today, 100 years later.
You know, I've talked many times about the legislature's money. What is it meaning for Union right now?
Well, we're in a good place in Oklahoma. I think we have a governor and Governor Stitt that values public education and understands that more than 90% of our 700,000 students that we have in Oklahoma attend a public school. And I just want to thank our legislatures the last 2 years for this historic increase or infusement of funding that they've provided. You know, Rick, we're also still dealing with a very serious teacher shortage, and that's not something that can just be solved with money. We're going to have to convince young people to get into, first of all, the educational programs throughout our regional and comprehensive universities in this state, and then hopefully they'll stay with us. That's the biggest challenge. Unfortunately, teaching is not easy, and you've got to really want to do this long term. And so what happens, unfortunately, is a lot of teachers get into the field of education, recognize really how difficult it is, and then they get out. That's an area of concern that we're really going to have to pay attention to.
When you talk about education in Oklahoma, it seems every topic has been discussed. Is there a topic we're not talking about you think needs more attention?
Yes, I do. The one thing that we are doubling down on right now, besides just the basic educational things of math and literacy, it has to do with the mental health of our students. We're in year two of our 5-year strategic plan, and that is one of the core components of our new learning model at Union, and that is what we call a social-emotional learning of our kids. And really what that's about is it's about making sure that they are developing in terms of their self-regulation and knowing how they handle their own dispositions, their own emotions, perhaps, when they're faced with difficulties, or perhaps they're in a conversation with someone and, you know, they don't agree with the position, either politically or religiously, that someone's making. I think our world right now probably needs a little bit more of that than ever before. We've got to learn to get along, you know, despite our political stripes. We've got to figure this out together. And unfortunately, you know, what I see happening in our country is that we're getting more politically divided, and that's not going to bode well for us. So we're doing our part as a public institution. You know, I'm of the old belief that our founding fathers used to say that public education wasn't designed to simply serve the public. It was designed to create it. And I don't know about other folks, but I want to create, you know, a body of learners that fully understand their role in our democratic society. And that is that even though we can have differences of opinion, we still have to all get along despite our deepest differences.
Finally, because we are standing where it started 100 years ago, if you brought back the very first group of farmers and principals and educators from 100 years ago and you stood them here today, what do you think they'd be most surprised about?
Well, I think the growth, first of all. I mean, our first graduating class consisted of 3 students, and this last May we graduated 1,287 students. So probably just the difference in size, but I think they would just be all. I think they would be very proud of really how courageous we are with our 100% graduation goal, and that's the one thing that I shared with our employees recently at kickoff is that We've got to continue to be bold, and we've got to continue to be what we framed it as. We've got to have this uncommon vision for all of our kids, regardless of their demographics, regardless of their zip codes. We have to believe in the potential of all of them and expect the fact that they're going to graduate and be college and career ready on the day that they walk across that stage.
Union Public School Superintendent Dr. Kirk Hartzler speaking with Rick Corey, KRMG's Russell Mills.
I sat down with Superintendent Dr. Janet Dunlop to discuss Broken Arrow's current offerings and its plans for the future.
The whole conversation revolved around, let's not just build another high school to build another high school, because that's the same thing we've always done. How can we make this experience something different that really does provide such a bright future for our students?
They've created a new program that moves dozens of students to the campus of Northeastern University.
The overall plan was to create all these different pockets of learning opportunities for our students to where they're not necessarily on the Broken Arrow High School campus. They're learning in a different way.
Here's how it works.
We currently have 150 freshmen and sophomores who are going to school at Northeastern State University all day long. They're taking pre-college classes to prep them to then transition their junior and senior year into full college classes. They have the potential of graduating from high school concurrently with an associate's degree in college at little to no cost to the parents at all.
And it helps free up space at the high school. And so does their Trade Pathways program. Now, that involves paid apprenticeships with local companies ranging from plumbing to aerospace. They kicked it off last year, and it immediately took off.
We were going to focus on this industry the first and this industry, but quite frankly, our community has been so excited about this that they're coming out of everywhere wanting to partner.
Those students spend as much as half the day off campus. But of course, keeping kids in school is also a goal. BA has a couple of new incentives. For example,
we have the first ever in the state of Oklahoma all-girls wrestling team. They're pretty common in Texas, but we're the first school to step out there and do it. And what's crazy is right off the bat, we've got 55 girls who've come out for wrestling.
Then there's the new esports program.
It's actually pretty popular, and more high schools are creating esports teams. So we have created one, and we're learning a lot from some of our local colleges that have esports. It's one of the largest growing and largest sporting events and fan bases in the nation. It's huge.
And students who get a chance to play video games competitively, she told me, rarely miss school. The overall approach at Broken Arrow is to tailor the educational path of each student individually so that they get what they need to succeed in life, but also what they want from their high school experience.
Now, we had a couple of open mics mocking the whole esports concept earlier this morning. Tulsa Public School Superintendent Dr. Deborah Gist in the studio with us. Does the TPS have esports teams?
We do have esports, and it is a growing area. And I, you know, I understand the mocking because it's such a different way to think about sports, but it is very competitive, and it's, you know, it's just growing worldwide.
Yeah.
We were talking about swimming before, you know, during one of the breaks, and that's a sport that, you know, kind of saw a decline, but we're really hoping to get back. We have an awesome swim team at Booker T. They're very competitive, and Memorial's swimming program is growing and growing. And at Monroe Demonstration Academy, which is our, it's relaunched. It's not a new school, but it's relaunched as the comprehensive middle school for the McLean neighborhood. We have a swimming pool there, and we'll be having swimming programs there at Monroe. So we want to grow our traditional sports programs as well.
Can I ask you, we talked about the money a little bit. I'm going to go back just that for a second. Has that helped recruitment at all?
Which part?
Teacher
the
pay?
The teacher raises and pay.
Has what helped recruitment?
The actual money and some raises and the pay there. Has that helped recruitment of teachers at all?
It has. It's helped in terms of our retention, and it's helped in terms of the quality of applicants and the numbers of applicants that we have. But the shortages that we have going into this school year are in these really, really hard to fill areas.
Special
education being the most significant of those.
Okay.
Special thanks to KRMG's Morning News for the interviews. This is Oklahoma Perspective for Cox Media Group. I'm Bert Williams.